All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 7. 1 Corinthians, chapter 7. While you're turning, one of our ladies gave me this little clipping this morning. It says, one Sunday, the pastor noticed a little boy staring up at a large plaque in the foyer of the church. The plaque was covered with names. And the pastor walked up, stood beside the little lad, and quietly said, good morning. He said, good morning, Pastor. What is this? And the pastor said, well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who died in the service. Little Alex's voice was barely audible when he said, which service, the 8:30 or the 10:45? No? Okay. Funny. Oh, yeah. Y'all wonder why I have a complex. All right, look at verse 32. I want to speak on one sentence this morning, and then I want to take you back and look at a verse in the Psalms that ties in with the verse that I'm going to read for you, or I want to tie it together. I don't know how much it ties together, but I want to tie it together. But I want to read to you this first sentence in verse 32 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want you to listen carefully to what Paul says here. And I also want to tell you that I'm kind of going to take this out of context a little bit. The context is marriage and the family and the home. And I'm going to kind of take it out of context, but if we're not to worry or to be anxious in marriage, in our homes, then we should not, I mean, it only stands to reason, you shouldn't be anxious about everything else connected to life. But look, please, at the first sentence in that verse. Paul says, but I would have you without carefulness. Now, what is carefulness? Well, basically, it's worry, all right? Don't worry. That's basically what he's saying. Don't fret. Don't let things eat you alive. I would have you without carefulness, without anxiety. I want to speak to you today on the matter of being without the burdens and the worries and the cares and the concerns that this world heaps upon us. Now, hold your place here and go back with me to Psalm 55. Psalm 55, and let me read you one verse out of Psalm 55. This is, of course, the psalmist David speaking, and in the 22nd verse of Psalm 55, David writes these words, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Please let that verse touch your heart this morning. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Now, tying these two verses together and preaching from these two verses this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of a question. And the question I want to ask you is, who is carrying your burden? Who is carrying your burden? Now, let's all be honest here. How many of you are carrying some burdens here this morning? Raise your hand. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, all of us who raised their, I got both hands up, by the way. All of us who raised our hands this morning, we're all honest, and the rest of us, we're sitting there saying, Pastor, it's so obvious that I'm carrying burdens, I don't even have to raise my hand. Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is with all of us. Life is filled with burdens. The psalmist said, cast your burdens before the Lord. I want to ask you this morning, who is carrying your burden? Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, in the Bible, we find comfort. encouragement. We find the strength to go on another day. And Father, we thank you so much for just allowing us to be here this morning. And I pray the Holy Spirit to bless what's about to be said. And Lord, you know that we all are carrying a burden about something. Every one of us has some load that is upon our shoulders. And so, Father, help us this morning to see who's carrying our burden. And Lord, may we lay our burden upon you. You've promised to sustain us. You'll take the burden and you'll carry it. And we can just go about our merry way. And so, Lord, help us today to see this truth and to hide it in our hearts. And Lord, to let you carry our burdens. Bless now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed that nobody likes a grouch? You ever noticed that? Sure you have. Nobody likes a grouch. But on the flip side of that, everybody likes to be around someone who is inherently happy. Somebody who has a smile on their face all the time is just a magnet to other people. Now, to be sure, all of us have burdens to bear. Our burden may be a health issue. Our burden may be financial issue. Our burden may be family, some family matter that we're dealing with. Our burden may be a job, the stress that we carry from a job. Yet there is something attractive about a person who can bear their burdens well. We all have them. But there's something attractive about a person who can bear their burdens well. When we see a face that is all lined with care, it often touches a chord of pity in us. We many times, we're moved to compassion towards someone when we can see the face of one carrying a great burden. And while we may not know the whole story, we do nonetheless know that there is a sad story behind the sad face that is caused by burdens that are unnecessarily being carried by that person. But the face that really helps us the most is the one which, in spite of the burdens being carried, still has the sunshine upon it. Now, let's face it, folks. No one is enamored by a scowl or by a frown. But all of us are attracted by a smile. We all recognize by plain instinct that a happy, a person, there is a kind of victory. And we would much rather be in the presence of that person than in the presence of any other. And that is one of the great charms of children. You see, they're always refreshing to be around. They're always excited. There's just always something about their excitement that rubs off on us. And, of course, we know that, you know, the little darlings are far from perfect. We know that. We understand that. We also understand that they can be cruel. They can be intensely selfish. They can be unbelievably blunt. That's true, isn't it? They can be unbelievably blunt. They can be truthful. And yet when the worst is said about them that can be said, there still remains in them an underlying contentment that can be as refreshing as anything in the world to our troubled lives. I want you to think about it. A child can cry their heart out, and then just in the next minute, you would never know that there was anything wrong. That's the way children are. Why is that? Why do children have that ability? They can scowl and look as mean as a cornered snake, but not have an ounce of malice in their heart. They can be cruel. They can bully. They can be stubborn. But in a minute's time, all of that is gone and their innocence is showing once again. As Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 7:32, he would have us be without carefulness. Now, as I read that verse this week, I thought immediately that what Paul was asking us to do was to be like children. One of the wonderful things about having grandchildren is that you get to sit and watch, and you take more stock in observation as a grandparent than you do as a parent. I think while you're a parent, you're just so busy. You're just trying to get through another day that you don't. Plus, you've got all those years of experience now on your side as a grandparent that you did not have when you were a 20-something and had the little rugrats running all over the place. But I watch the children. I watch them. I watch how they behave. I watch how they think. I watch how they work, how they play. I watch that. And it's interesting. It fascinates me to see what part of their parents they display and what part of their grandparents they display. It's really a fascinating thing if you will take the time to do it. And as I read this verse, my grandkids came into my mind. And I, as far as I can see here, I think that verse 37 is Paul asking us to be like children, because children are exactly what Paul is asking us to be in this verse. Not anxious, not worrisome, not fretting over every little thing that happens during the day. And children are just like this. Children can be upset one minute, and then just like flipping a switch, everything's fine. And they have forgotten about the thing that caused them to be upset. And so when I thought of that, I thought of what the Lord Jesus had to say one day about children. Now, the Lord Jesus did not say, as did Paul, "I would have you without carefulness." But instead, he said, "Except ye become as little children." Isn't that strange? The Lord Jesus, who knew human nature better than any other, said that we would be better off if we would act like little children. Now, folks, let's be honest about it. Don't you think we would all be better off if we could just be like little children with all of these burdens that we have to bear today? Don't you think we'd all be better off if we could just take our burdens somewhere, leave them, and then go about our merry way? I see so many people who are just absolutely burdened down with life to the place that they can barely even function in the world around them. Now, let me take you back now to Psalm 55. And when I sat and meditated upon 1 Corinthians 7:32, my mind went to this verse in Psalm 55. And I went back and read the psalm and got to verse 22 and then saw the direction that I wanted to take the message this morning. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." Wow, what a promise. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. You see, the onus is upon us. Are we able to cast our burdens upon the Lord? And let's be honest, most of us aren't. So my question to you this morning is, who is carrying your burdens? Indeed, somebody is carrying them. Either you are carrying your burdens, or you are dumping your burdens upon anybody who will listen as you share your burdens with them. Or, and by the way, if that's the case, you'll notice people are ignoring you. You'll notice that people are not wanting to be in your presence because they don't want to hear it. They got enough of their own burdens without having to have all of yours dumped upon them. So either you're carrying them yourself, which I think most people do, or you are sharing them with anybody who will stand there long enough for you to unload on them, or you're taking them to the Lord and you're leaving them there. Now, the Bible here says that we are to cast our burdens upon the Lord. And the promise is when we do, the Lord will sustain us. So to be sure, everybody or somebody is carrying your burdens. I hope that when we leave here this morning, you will be of the mindset to say, I am going to let the Lord carry my burdens. You see, when we do that, all of a sudden we're going to find ourselves happy again like little kids. Little kids are happy because mom and dad carry their burdens. They don't put things on their shoulders and lug them around like we do. No, something happens to them. They might react. They may cry. They may be fearful. They may have some other emotion when something happens. But then just minutes later, everything's fine. And they're back to their happy little selves again. But not us adults. No, sir. You let one little burden get up on our shoulders and boom, boy, there we are. We're stuck. Man, what are we going to do? How you doing? Oh, well, you know, I'm not doing very good. Oh, yeah? And then we just looking for somebody that we can tell our burdens to. Well, here's the point. Take your burden. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Cast it. Cast it upon the Lord. And you do that, and you will find that the Lord will sustain you. Now, there are two things I want to call to your attention from this passage of Scripture. First of all, I want you to notice that we are supposed to cast our burdens upon the Lord. Upon the Lord. Folks, the psalmist did not tell us to cast our burden upon anyone or anything other than the Lord. And you know, we sing about this all the time in our services, don't we? A lot of our hymns have to do with this subject. Taking our burdens to God and leaving our burdens with the Lord. We sing about them. Our quartet has a song that we sing, and it's the whole gist of the song is take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. But do we really do that? And the answer is no. Most of the time, we take the coward's way out. And we, as soon as the burden comes, do our best to rid ourselves of the burden. And you know, I think that it is always the mark of weak character to try to shove our burdens off on someone else instead of taking our burdens to the Lord. God did not tell you to take your burden and spread it all over Carroll County. God said, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You see, life grows richer and fuller as we learn how to handle life's burdens. At the first sign of having a burden to bear, most of us just go completely haywire with trying to get rid of it. And folks, we're all going to have burdens. I mean, it's just a fact of life. But we need to realize that handling burdens is often where our character is formed. When we bow before the Lord and take our burden to the Lord, that's where we learn how God wants us to deal with our burdens. Now, it may be that the Lord wants you to carry that burden for a little while. For there is something that he wants to show you that you will only and can only learn as you carry the burden. When we were in the Philippines a couple of weeks ago, I think it was on the first evening, if I remember right, Aaron and I was sitting up front with Aaron, and we were talking about the Filipino people and all the challenges that they've endured. And I asked him, I said, do the Filipino people watch a lot of television? And he said, oh, no. He said, most of them don't have television. He said, no, most of them don't. No, no. And so we got to our room. And the real reason I asked that is because I was wondering if television was going to keep people from coming out to church in the evenings. And he assured me that it wouldn't, and it didn't, and I know now why. We got to the hotel room, and I turned on the television to see if I could find a news channel, and all they had was CNN and the BBC. I was going through the channels, and I realized then why the Filipino people don't watch TV. I've never in my life seen such stuff on TV. You know, Japanese opera is not exactly how I picture spending the afternoon. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness. Oh, bless their hearts. It was that little girl was trying. She was trying her best. I can assure you that. But I kept flipping through the channels. I just kept flipping through the channels, and I found a Western on. Now, this was an old Western, you know, back in the 40s, back in the 50s. And so I got everything squared away and propped the pillows up and laid down on the bed and was just going to rest for a few minutes. I'm sitting there watching the Western. And they had the good guys, you know, the good guys wearing the white hats, you know, the good guys. And there were about four or five of them. And then they had the bad guys. The bad guys all had the black hats. And they were going from one scene to the other. All the guys in the black hats, they're just running across the prairie and on their horses. You know, they're just running across the prairie. And they've got mean looks on their faces. They got black hats on. Did I mention they had black hats? They got the black hats on. Then they go back to the good guys. And the good guys are all standing around. And they all got their white hats on. And they all clean shaven. All the bad guys now, boy, they looked rough. Man, scraggly beards, you know, the whole scowls on their faces. But the good guys, all clean shaven, they're all smiling, happy, standing around talking to one another. And it was obvious that the bad guys were chasing the good guys and that they were getting close. But the good guys were up in some trees and they had an Indian scout with them. Now, this Indian scout all of a sudden just put his hands up in the air and everybody stopped and they were all looking intently at him. And about that time, the Indian scout dropped down to his knees and he put his ear to the ground. And boy, he stood up and he started explaining that the bad guys were coming. They were coming. I mean, the men wearing the white hats, they all laid down an ambush. And when the guys wearing the black hats came riding into their ambush, the good guys all jumped out, surprised them, shot them all, and won, and the movie was over. And the implication was, what I got out of that, I know that scares you, doesn't it? The implication was that no one could hear the horses coming through the air, just with your ears. But that the scout was, but when the scout was on his face, when he was prone, when he had his ear to the ground, he could hear the distant trampling of the horses' hooves and knew that the bad guys were just around the corner. And I thought as I watched that that's a good illustration of the Christian life. You know, when we're up and about, when we're standing, when we're busy, when we're living life, when we're working, we cannot sometimes know the dangers or the trials that are going on around us. But when we bow before the Lord, we can hear the gathering storm, and we know the things that are coming our way. And brethren, listen, I think what I want the illustration to show you is that as believers, we need to keep our ear to the mouth of God. We need to keep our ear to the mouth of God. We need to take our burdens to the Lord, leave them there, and just walk away from our burdens. Let God handle the burdens that we have to face in life. We take them to the Lord because really, He's the only one that can handle them. I mean, when the burdens come, we want to get rid of them as quickly as we possibly can. And we will try to dump them off on anybody that will listen to us. And why do we do that? Folks, listen, if we can't handle our burdens, what in the world makes us think that others can handle our burdens? So you say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Take them to the Lord. That's what you do. You see, the Lord Jesus can handle whatever burden you bring to Him. I can have confidence that when I bring my burdens to the Lord, I am putting them into the hands of the one who providentially caters to the needs of even the little sparrow that flies in the sky. I mean, if the Lord takes note of a sparrow that falls out of the sky, and He does, the Lord Jesus told us so, surely that will inspire me to realize that He is going to be concerned about the things that burden me. And when we bring our burdens and leave it there, then I don't have to carry it again. So when I walk away from the Lord, after casting my burden upon Him, I can be like that little child that I mentioned in my introduction. And boy, you see very few people that are like this, do you? I know we say we do. We'll come to the altar and we'll say, Lord, here's my burden. And we're brokenhearted and we're praying and we're saying, oh God, help me, help me. And we take our burden off our shoulders and we feel good when we're giving it to God. And then we say, in Jesus' name, amen. And then we get up and we grab our burden, we throw it back on and we take off again. That's how we do it. I either read this or I heard somebody preaching on it. I don't remember where I heard it. But let's let the Bible interpret the Bible, okay? Going back to Psalm 55, verse 22, the first word, cast. Cast. David said, cast thy burdens. And I just let the Bible interpret the Bible. The Bible says that Daniel was cast into the lion's den. Think about that. Cast it. What does that mean? That means somebody grabbed him by the nape of the neck and they grabbed him by the seat of the breeches and they just threw him over. Jonah was cast into the sea. They cast him into the sea. What does that mean? Somebody grabbed him by the nape of the neck. Somebody grabbed him by the seat of the breeches and they just threw him over. The Bible tells us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew children, were cast into the fiery furnace. The Apostle Paul was cast into the inner prison for preaching the gospel. The book of the Revelation tells us that at the end of the millennium, God is going to cast the devil into the lake of fire. And so I kind of get the idea that when it says cast, the idea is to get rid of, to throw it off. I mean, just to take your burden and throw it. Get it off of you. We were out in the parking lot, a couple of us, Friday. We were standing out there talking, and all of a sudden one of the guys starts going like this, and I said, what are you doing? It was a stink bug. It flew off the building. Yeah, I hate those things, don't you? It's a stink bug. It flew off the building and was trying to land on him. And he's out there fighting it off. Listen, that's the idea behind this. Cast it off. Just take your burden and get rid of it. And the way you do that is to cast it upon the Lord. And that is what God bids us to do with our burdens. Heave them upon the Lord. Let the Lord carry them. We should be as happy as a little child who lives without burdens because the child knows that mom and dad are the ones carrying the burden. They're happy. They don't worry about whether or not the bills are going to get paid. They don't worry about whether or not it's going to get cold in the house. They don't worry about any of that stuff. None of it ever crosses their mind. They're children. And Paul is saying, hey, be like a child. Jesus is saying, hey, Christian, be like a child. Bring your burdens to the Lord and let your heavenly Father take care of the things that are burdening you down. But then there's the second thing. When I got to this point of the sermon, I thought, well, that's it. But it's 20 minutes till 12, and I can't quit at 20 minutes till 12 because y'all expect to get out at 20 minutes till 12 next week, and that ain't going to happen. So I said, try me. Is that what you said? Try me. So I started to think about it, and I hope you can follow the direction that my second thought takes us. Casting your burdens upon the Lord. Who's carrying your burdens? Now, there's a second thing I want you to consider, and here it is. It would be easier for us to do what David's suggesting here. It would be easier for us today to do this than it was for David. You say, well, why is that, Pastor? Why would it be easier for us today to cast our burdens upon the Lord than it would have been for David? There's one simple answer. It's because we've got Christ. We've got the Lord Jesus. David said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And of course, he had first done that very thing himself. I mean, it would have been hypocritical for him to tell us to do it if he had not done it first himself. But we have something today David did not have. You say, well, Pastor, what could that possibly be? Folks, we have the Lord Jesus, and that makes all the difference in the world. Because if you remember, for 3.5 years, no matter where the Lord Jesus went, no matter where he was, men, women, children, Jews, Gentiles, the rich, the poor, the infirmed, the diseased, the blind, the deaf, the infirmed. I mean, everyone that could get to him came to him every hour of the day and cast their burdens upon him. You read the Gospels, folks. Everywhere he went, there were people that came and cast their burdens upon him. Everybody did it. He was constantly bombarded by hurting people. And you go back and read through the four Gospels, and you will see that just about the whole gamut of human problems were cast upon him at some time or another. People brought their sicknesses to him, brought their diseases to him. They brought their family problems to him, their religious problems. They brought their anxieties and their fears and all of their problems. They brought their children. They brought their spouses. Sometimes when their loved ones were unable, they just came themselves and explained how their loved one was back at home. And the Lord listened and then healed their loved ones from a distance. It's amazing. And not one time did it offend him that people cast their burdens upon him. Would you think about that? Not one time. Do you ever read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? Not one time was he ever offended when somebody came to him. He said, now you say, well, Pastor, that's amazing. Yes. I mean, they came relentlessly. They came day and night. They interrupted him at meals. They interrupted him from sleep. I mean, one time he was in a house, And there were so many people in the house and outside the house. These four guys had a friend, and they were trying to bring their friend to get to Jesus so Jesus could heal him. And they couldn't get in. And the Bible says that they went up on the roof and they tore the tiles off the roof and then dropped the man right down in front of the Lord Jesus while he was preaching. Now, I tell you, if you interrupted me while I was preaching, I'm going to get angry. But he didn't. Why didn't he get angry? There's one reason. And here it is.
Here it is. Listen very carefully. Jesus made one statement, and that one statement, it ought to be enough to cause every one of us to cast our burdens upon the Lord. You ready for that one statement? Here it is. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's pretty good, isn't it? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. David said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Would you look at that verse, please? That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Who is that? That's Jehovah God, the God of the covenant, God the Father. He said, cast your burden upon the Lord. Jesus said, I am the Lord. I and the Father are one, he said. I am Jehovah God. The writer of Hebrews said that he was the express image of God the Father. The writer of Hebrews said, let us come boldly under the throne of grace. You see, he didn't perform his earthly ministry and then just quit. The book of Hebrews goes on to say that he sits at the right hand of the Father where he ever liveth to make intercession for each and every one of us. That's amazing, isn't it? He never wearies. That's my point, folks. We have that. David didn't have that. Oh, he had it, but he didn't know he had it. But you and I know we've got it. We've got the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father right now. And he never is weary with me bringing my burdens to him. He never tires. He never looks over the battlements of heaven and says, oh, you again? No. When I thought of that, I thought about David. You know, I thought, verse 22, I thought, man, it took a hero. It took a hero to experience this. David certainly was a hero, wasn't he? He was the mighty warrior king. I mean, the mighty warrior king was the man who spoke the words of our text. But you know, you don't have to be this mighty warrior to enjoy this benefit today. I mean, a grandmother can enjoy this benefit today. A mother, a father, a teenager. We can all come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. It is now within the reach of every believer to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and lay down the things that burden our lives and then walk away from the Lord with a happy heart. Most Christians look like they drank a glass full of dill pickle juice before they come to church. And a face so long you could throw it out a four-story window and use it for a fire escape. That's the way most Christians are. How you doing? Oh, not very good. Well, what's the matter? Oh, you don't know the burdens I'm carrying. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Take them to the Lord and leave them there. Wednesday night, when church was over, I went across the hallway to see Braden and Jenna. When I walked in, they saw me, and Braden came running, and he had these little tennis shoes on that every time his foot hit the ground, they lit up. You've seen those little shoes on those kids. And I made a big deal. I said, wow, man, look at those cool tennis shoes. And so he started running around in a little circle for me so I could watch them all light up. And I was going hog wild. Oh, man, look at I need to get me a pair of those cool tennis shoes. I said, those are undoubtedly the coolest shoes I've ever seen in my life. His little face was just lit up. And then typical Braden, he looked at me and he said, well, Papa, I didn't think Mommy was going to get them for me. And I said, what? He said, well, I didn't think mommy was going to buy them for me. And I said, Braden, why didn't you come to me? Now, the sad thing is, one of these days, he's going to figure that out. And then I'm going to get in trouble because Karen's going to say, why do you buy that boy everything he wants? But I'm the same way with the girls. It doesn't make any difference. If Papa can do it, Papa will do it. You say, you're spoiling them rotten. You can't spoil something that was born rotten. Think on that. Oh, by the way, so were you. And so were your grandchildren. Why didn't you come to me? Folks, can you imagine when we get to heaven and we stand before the Lord and the Lord is looking at us and we say, you know, Lord, I had such a hard time. Lord, you just don't know how I struggled. You're talking, hey, you are talking to the one who knows the feeling of our infirmities. He was here. Remember that? He was here, folks. He knows what it's like to be us. He was one of us. And the Lord is going to look us right square in the face and say, why didn't you come to me? If you had just come and put your burden on me, I would have carried your burden for you. And then you could just go ahead and be happy. Because, folks, be honest, it's the burdens that weigh us down. It's the burdens that take away our smile. It's the burdens that remove the sunshine from our countenance. It's the burdens that make our shoulders slump. It's the burdens that make us think that we're better off sitting at home than we are in the house of God. It's the burdens that make us feel sorry for ourselves and go find a juniper tree to crawl under. It's the burdens. And all of us have them. But the psalmist here says, cast thy burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee.